Hey guys, welcome back to Three Dudes, One Mic. I'm Justin Wheeler, and with me today is Brett Cortese.
Bonsoir, friends.
We are a man down. Nick is sailing somewhere. Hopefully he makes it back all right. But we've had a lot of shows start, so Brett and I said we still needed to do one. Before we get going, appreciate everyone listening. Continue to do so. Check our website out, threedudesonemic.com. I think my brother wrote something a few weeks ago about Game of Thrones. And also check us out on Twitter at Three Dudes, One Mic. And we do have a Facebook that rarely gets updated, so just check the other stuff. but want to get going because we have a lot to talk about. And start with my favorite show of the last few years is back on for season two, Mr. Robot. We had the season premiere, which was actually two parts, two episodes, hour and a half total. What were your thoughts, Brett?
Wow. So everything I had seen leading up to the premiere was that this was going to be darker and more intense. And, man, did they start off quick. I think one of the first scenes we see is Mr. Robot. I think it's like the second or third scene after he's going through his whole regimen that he's doing now. And shouts to Joey Badass just finding finding out about Seinfeld now. That was really funny. Like his revelation of it's about nothing. It's a show about nothing, and that's what you have to accept. I thought that was really funny. A great moment of levity there in that whole episode. But one of the first couple scenes that we see is Mr. Robot shooting Elliot point blank in the head, and then Elliot just getting up. And it's just a figment of his imagination, and
I thought that was very crazy. I thought it was dark, but I also was very, like, it was a very interesting move just to start off with an hour and a half of Elliot in it, but not really in it, because he just did the same thing over and over. It was very interesting to kind of go about that, but I thought, again, obviously, the interaction between Elliot and Mr. Robot, I mean, when both of them, it's just obviously them because no one else could see Christian Slater. But when they're both on stage or on TV together, it's pretty amazing. It's kind of gut wrenching to watch.
It's incredible, and I love the fact. I can't remember who I was talking with this about, but I love the fact that in his psychoses he has developed this person, this kind of alternate personality, separate personality, whatever, and it's his father.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, he didn't know it. Sorry, spoiler alert if you haven't seen season one,
obviously,
one of the greatest seasons in the past few years of TV. I mean, it's incredible that it's his father, and we find out that, and now he is getting kind of he's kind of like a poltergeist now, just kind of there haunting him and just like egging him on and making him and kind of inhabiting his body and taking over and making him do things that he doesn't know that he's doing, going out and doing stuff. Like with the very first scene with Tyrell Wellick.
Yeah, that was interesting. We jumped right into that also.
Like,
didn't feel as much, but
we
still.
We know from season one that he doesn't remember anything after hitting enter.
Right.
And waking up 3 days later in Wellick's car.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool that they kind of opened it with that flashback to then, and then we just were slowly getting bits and pieces of where he is. And that's kind of the whole point of that first episode of the second season is biggest question is, where the hell is Tyrell Wellick?
Yeah. And we see his psycho wife, fiance, girlfriend. I don't really know what her deal is.
Love it.
Before we kind of get into the girls and Gideon,
Rip.
I want to talk about Craig Robinson.
Yeah.
From Deep.
Yeah.
So I just looked at his thing. I think he's on 2 or 3 episodes. But who knows? I mean, IMDb may not be really caught up if he's a full season or just a few. I wasn't on it much, but I'm super excited to see where that goes.
Well, we've only seen 2 episodes. I think with a show like this, I would assume that the network probably reached out and was like, yo, don't give anything away.
Well, yeah.
Because you got to think, like, there have been shows where you can look on IMDb and based on the number of episodes that a character or an actor is in that show, you can kind of figure out whether that character is going to be around for a while or is going to be essentially killed off.
Yeah. But what'd you think of him?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who is he? How does he know?
And what does he need help with? I feel like he's not. I feel like he's involved with something.
He has to be.
Yeah.
But, man, that is a cute dog.
That was pretty funny. Just their interactions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was kind of surprised. I didn't realize he was going to be in it. And what
the FBI agent, the woman FBI agent, she is, oh my gosh, I completely forgot. She is the daughter of a famous actor, Meryl Streep.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, whatever. You can look it up. I'm probably wrong, but I think it's right. But yeah, so she's the daughter. And then in that, because I watched the talk show with Greenwald, and then Sam Esmail was on, and Rami Malek was on, and Christian Slater, and then Portia Doubleday and Carly Chaykin. But they were saying that the guy behind her was like one of the founders of Anonymous, the hacker group Anonymous.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, not Anonymous anymore, but
right.
Yeah.
So, Darlene, the sister.
Man, what a scene!
What is going on with her in general, and just kind of running the show now?
It reminded me. Her scene reminded me of in season 1. Whenever we see Elliot break down.
Yeah.
And he's just like in the fetal position in his apartment.
I also
just
want
crying.
No part of a smart house at this point.
Absolutely
in my
not.
Life. Sorry, just
absolutely
throw that out
not.
There.
But yeah, I mean, we're kind of starting to see her breaking down in the background.
Yeah.
On the inside. But then she's needing to put on this mask, kind of like...
To be the leader
of this new crew, this F-Society. And it's very similar to what they are all about. Internally, everything is breaking down around them, but then they put on this mask and they're invincible.
Right. So what about your scene? You haven't talked about it yet.
Which one?
The one we were texting about that night whenever... the CTO.
Oh, yes.
The park.
Oh, my gosh. That scene gave me so many chills.
That's pretty cool.
Because it first starts out, and you hear the Phil Collins song, and at first it just sounds like it's something just, like, playing at, like, a block party or whatever, just, like, somewhere, like, I don't know. And then it just... builds and builds and builds, and then the song just takes over, and man, what a scene. That's what I love about this show, is what they're able to do with not only the cinematography and just the tone of everything, but also the songs and the music that they use to score it.
Definitely.
There were a few scenes in season 1 that really stood out to me because the songs that were that they used are songs that I've known and really enjoy. One of them was whenever Tyrell kills the wife, and they're using that song by FKA Twigs, and it's just such a cool and interesting song, and to use it in that context, it really makes you go back and like actually like listen to the lyrics and read the lyrics and try to understand it and everything, and it really syncs up really well. Same thing with this song, with the Phil Collins song, because it's about like someone on, I believe it's like someone on death row, but it sounds like just a happy, upbeat kind of song, but when you actually dive into the lyrics, it's not. And that's kind of what this scene embodies. So, they're incredible.
Before kind of getting into what I thought was the biggest, and I guess you didn't think it as much, talk about Angela, Portia Doubleday's character. She didn't come in for a while.
She came in the second part.
Yeah.
Act two.
Yeah. And she's obviously stayed with Evil Corporation. She doesn't really look like she's high up, but she is doing a lot for them. And the way she acts, I'm very thrown off by. It's almost like she is now turning into the female version of Elliot, but just in a bad, she's a bad person, but not in the same way. It's just very interesting.
It seems like she's turning into a drone.
Yeah.
A corporate slave for this terrible, terrible, terrible corporation that killed her mom.
But it's also, yes, I know what you're saying there, but I'm trying to think of a better way to put it. Like, the tendency she's getting is Elliot.
Yeah.
Like, putting the headphones in, not talking, being very shut off. Yes, I mean, drone is a good way to put it, but it's all, I mean, that's Elliot. So it's just interesting. I don't know where that's going to lead with both of them.
I have a theory.
As friends. I was going to ask you at the end your theories here.
Okay, I'll wait.
No, just do it now.
Right now?
Talking about
okay.
It.
While it's cooking up here. So that was one of the main things that they talked about after the show was where her character's going to go from here. Is she kind-hearted? Is she good-hearted? Is she doing this for a reason to make this company pay for what they did to her her mother? Or is she becoming a part of the establishment? And one thing that Sam Esmail kept saying was, I don't think the answer's up there. Because it was a poll that they did, a Twitter poll. And so it made me think that, I mean, we see her rebuff the lawyer that she begged to retake the case and reinvestigate the case. And we see her just flat out just tell her, no, I'm staying. That's what I'm doing, so get over it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an act. I think that she...
For what purpose?
Because she knows she's being watched closely. I mean, this is a corporation that...
That's true.
...is known for shady, shady business and doing and shady dealings. So I think that she knows that she's being watched, and she has that... She has that kind of, or did have, the direct line to the new, or the CEO, who, he is incredible. He is an incredible guy.
Whenever he was talking to, I don't know if it was the FBI or this, whoever.
Politicians.
Yeah. Just the way he talks and the way he thinks and what he does is crazy.
Just the machismo.
Yeah.
Just like
the demeanor he has.
The casting in the show has been on point.
Yeah, so I want to get to that. I was super... not super surprised. I was surprised last year with Michael Gill, who plays Gideon.
Yes.
Elliot's boss. And he was the president on House of Cards for a little bit. when, and I hadn't really seen him before doing some research. He's been in soap operas and some other stuff. I didn't really know if he'd be a major part or not. I thought he did very well in season one, and he actually grew on me a lot. Come season two, spoilers, which we've already spoiled a lot. I was, you know, the scene at the table with him and Elliot, kind of the way he was going after Elliot and needing help, I thought was very well done. And then kind of the weird path it took with him being at the bar by himself with that guy asking awkward questions, and then just saying, you know, he was doing the world a favor and shot Gideon in the neck. And it just kind of was so sudden and random. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking that Gideon now, you know, would be kind of not be, you know, he's a main character, but not really. I thought he was going to kind of be a hindrance on Elliot for the whole season with the way they were taking that table scene and kind of put Elliot in a bind, which seems like he probably did already. So you don't need to continue on with that storyline, but it was just so sudden and so shocking. That was kind of the biggest twist to me. I mean, I know it's going to be for a reason and things are going to, the show's going to get way better with it.
Conspiracy shit's just turning right now.
What's with him? Some, with Gideon?
Yeah. So he was a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's potentially going to be viewed as a martyr. Because before we see him in the bar.
For who, though? A martyr for who?
For the people.
For F Society?
No, because he was viewed as...
For evil one corporation?
No, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. It literally just came to mind. So his company was part of the reason why F Society was able to get access
and
into
Evil
Corp. And he figured it out. And he knows that Elliot has something to do with it. And I had texted you about this, so now the FBI is interviewing him, and he goes and interviews with this detective, and we don't know what he says, but he tells Elliot that he's going to go to the FBI, and they're trying to figure out what's going on and who's involved, and Gideon knows that Elliot's involved somehow because he figured everything out, and he knows that someone's hacking his emails, even though no matter what he does. So then, before we see the scene in the bar, we see the scene that we already talked about in the park. And before the bike messenger, before the bag is dropped off, the package is dropped off for the CTO, we see some guy walking through the park with a dog.
I remember what you're saying now.
Just awkward. Just kind of weird, just like staring at him, just like slowly, like not really paying attention to the dog. And I think the guy, I haven't gone back, I should go back and watch it, but I think the guy looked like the guy that visits Gideon in the bar and is talking to him about how he was made a scapegoat and he needs to do so. I don't know. So maybe this guy is a part of F Society and they knew that he was going to go talk to the FBI and they knew that he was going to tell them that he wasn't involved and give them all the evidence that and everything. And so now they're going to kill him. And they know that that's the only way.
And so he's
going to
be part of it.
And so now he's going to go from a scapegoat in the public's eyes to, oh, well, he actually really wasn't involved and now he's a martyr or something. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. And it's absolutely crazy, but that's what the show does.
Yeah.
And that's part of like the tone is what's reliable. What's actually real, what's actually just a part of, a figment of Elliot's imagination.
Right.
I mean, of his crazy, screwed up reality.
Yeah.
I mean, we've constantly seen that. Even with the first episode, how everywhere we see, even news reports, E Corp is referred to as Evil Corp. And that's what Elliot calls it. So it's like, what's real, what's not, what can we believe, what do we need to be skeptical about? So, This damn show, man.
Well, at the very end, before we move on, we do hear...
Bonsoir, Elliot. Yeah.
So, I'm very excited to see what tomorrow night's episode has.
We're not going to get anything.
Well, probably not, but very happy it's back. I think it lived up to the hype. Didn't talk about it, but very cool that they released the first half of the episode on social media.
I didn't watch it. Did you?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Just because how this show is, I thought that was pretty cool. So we'll definitely be covering this a lot over the next couple weeks, couple months. Switching gears a little bit, not necessarily a happier show, but supposed to be more of a comedy. HBO premiered Vice Principals.
Yes.
And I couldn't be more excited that Boyd Crowder is gracing television with his presence again. Walton Goggins, alongside obviously Danny McBride, co-creator, writer, with his writing partner, Jody Hill.
Yeah,
Jody. The two that obviously did Eastbound and Down. We've known about it for a while. Pretty cool that they already know it's two seasons and that's it. So they already have... I'm pretty sure they might have already filmed everything, even though it's going to be two seasons, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, this is saying that there's already...
What were your thoughts? Did it live up to what you were hoping it would?
Really funny. My gosh. Walton Goggins needs to do more comedies.
That I think, man, everything he does is comedies, though, but in a weird way.
It really is, just the way he approaches,
the way he walks and talks. It's not just a Vice Principals right. thing. He does this as Boyd Crowder. He did this as whoever his played a female character on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, well,
Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. His character in that just kind of an effeminate but still like male dominant character, and it's hilarious.
Yeah,
and man, their back and forth is already incredible.
Yeah, it's the language they use in the school is very comical.
It makes me wonder, if that's actually how teachers talk to each other in other schools. I mean.
I love the opening scene with Bill Murray, and then when the flag was coming down there behind him.
Just
and
fighting.
The way they were just flipping each other off with their faces and stuff like that. I think it's got a lot of promise. I think it was very, very funny.
Yeah.
Interesting dynamic. I didn't realize... I mean, obviously, I don't know if the whole season back this. I thought the show was going to be them competing the whole season to become vice principal, but really it was only one episode.
Yeah.
And then, not really any spoilers, but now they're coming together. My enemy's enemy is my friend, or whatever Walton Goggins said to him at the end.
Yeah.
I
loved that scene where he starts off and he's off in the distance with the walkie-talkie, and then the slow walk and...
It was pretty funny with Busy Phillips and
what's his name?
Guy that is literally in everything.
I know who he is. I know his face.
He was in True Detective.
Yeah.
His name is Shay Wingham. Been in a lot of things. I thought the whole dynamic between those two, the daughter and Danny McBride was pretty funny. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, it's kind of hard to talk about right now with only one episode 30 minutes in. Other than I think it did live up to it. And I'm happy that we know that HBO has already said that, you know, that it will be two seasons, that we will get an ending since HBO's burned us on shows before.
A few.
So that's pretty cool. Hopefully they don't drag it out and make them bring them back like they did with Eastbound.
So it looks like he's only in one
episode. Really?
Yeah, that's what this is saying, which sucks.
That's pretty much all I had. Did you have anything else on Vice Principals?
No, I mean, I'm just... I enjoyed it. It was really funny. I laughed. And that's really all you can ask for in a show like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be...
Kind of glad to have a somewhat vulgar show back on television that is enjoyable.
It's like a... I hate to say this. It's like a dumber Veep.
Yeah. I can see that for sure.
So.
HBO also brought back season 2 of Ballers.
Yes.
Interesting. I don't know if you, before we get into it, heard Mark Wahlberg on Dan Patrick talking about Roger Goodell and all that kind of.
I didn't read anything.
Roger Goodell said that that was a lie, but who really cares? I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. I honestly
believe it.
Yeah, I do too. That guy is seriously the worst.
He's such an egotistical piece of crap. And the NFL is so corrupt that I absolutely believe it.
Yeah.
So.
I haven't seen all his movies. I think The Rock is
a national
pretty
treasure.
Fun and awesome to watch, even if his movies kind of suck, he still makes them way better.
Hey, watch your tongue.
Yeah. I thought this episode was pretty funny with Jay Glazer and Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
And then Sue already kind of bringing in some pretty big, well-known names into... and it looks like Suggs may be around for a little bit.
He's
kind of going... I mean,
yeah,
going after Andy Garcia's clients.
Which I thought, based on the promos, I thought Andy Garcia was going to be in a little more. Obviously, he's probably going to be in a lot next few episodes. But, man, the dude that plays Ricky Jarrett, John David Washington, Denzel's son, sounds exactly like him.
Yeah.
Because I was on Sunday, they had a marathon on HBO, and I was in bed recovering in the afternoon, and was watching Ballers because it was the perfect to help recover. Yeah. And I really, like, just watching it and listening to it and just like really paying attention to it, I realized how much alike he is to his dad.
I like him. I think he's really good.
I want to see him in something else.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Cause this is a very out there character, and obviously, I mean, it's sports entourage. So, I mean, it's not the best medium, but it's a dumb, entertaining show that I enjoy watching.
Yeah, it's been fun. I'm glad to have it back. Same night, kind of changing gears here, back going a little bit darker. Because, we'll come back to it, obviously, in the future with Ballers and Vice Principals, but hard to talk about only one episode of a 30-minute show right now. The second episode of the night of HBO's miniseries, released it early, and now able to kind of see a new one with John
Turturro.
And, oh my gosh, I'm going to butcher his name. The main character plays Nas, Riz Ahmed, who is amazing. You have not watched this, have you?
No, I have not. I thought I set up the recording, forgot to, and then continued to forget to.
Good thing you have HBO Go.
Right.
I don't want to spend a lot of time in it to ruin anything then, but this may be... obviously, Mr. Robot is... We've talked about it, how much we love it. This may be some of the best and most gut-wrenching acting on television right now, and that we've had in a while. It's so... Like, you desperately want more, but it's so hard to watch at the same time. And both of them are amazing. You don't get a lot of John Turturro in the first episode, but you do a lot more in the second episode. And just with everything that's happening, obviously we don't want to get too much into it on this you know, just with the world right now, seeing something like this, I think, makes it even kind of crazier and harder to watch.
Right. I think I kind of understand what the premise is, but it really is of the times.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because
it was supposed this to be show was years
written,
ago.
Written 3 years ago, 4 years
ago?
Well,
it's also off a remake of a BBC show.
Yeah. So
obviously, I mean, not the exact same story, but the somewhat of the same idea of it, but very much changed to the times we're in now.
Very racially charged, from what I can garner.
Yeah, very much so.
And it, I didn't enjoy it, but I watched the first couple episodes back whenever the first season was on. But
of what?
American Crime.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
It was on HBO.
Yeah.
Or not HBO, ABC. It was kind of the same, similar kind of storyline where a minority was accused of some crime that turned out didn't actually, wasn't the actual suspect. Mm-hmm. And so they just pinned it on someone. And it kind of like Traffic.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing where they take a look at just different racial aspects of America, and that's what I would garner. That's what I.
Yeah, that's think exactly this is about, it. Right? But it's just the way he plays. You know, we've only seen him in iCarly. I think he's going to be in. I think he's in the next Star Wars. I think he's in a lot of big things coming out. He's obviously going to become more well known. But from what we know him as, not really much. Being able to go from his Nightcrawler character to this, he is great, and he is going to do awesome things. It's kind of hard and sad a little bit to watch John Turturro because he's amazing. I don't know if I could really picture anyone other than him already.
But then,
but
you
just
think,
trying to think of what him versus James Gandolfini would have done, since this was his passion project.
Well, and Gandolfini's he just. Knowing what his roles have been in the past, I mean, The Sopranos and everything, all of his movies, I think he would have killed it.
Very
and
cool. It he still is the executive producer on when
on
they
the credits.
Go through the credits. So
that's awesome.
That's, I thought that was pretty cool. But definitely check it out.
I know Nick talked about this probably last episode, but didn't they like ask De Niro to do it?
Yeah, but due to scheduling, De Niro committed and due to scheduling, which I didn't realize this either. So he dropped out, and John Turturro was really close friends with James Gandolfini. A movie that he directed, James Gandolfini was in, and so he was debating whether he was going to take it or not. Met with James Gandolfini's wife, mm-hmm. After everything happened, and you know, decided to do it, and I'm very happy. I think I can't really, you know, I honestly don't know if I would have really liked it as much with Robert De Niro. Obviously it's Robert De Niro. He can do just about anything, but once you see John Turturro's character, I don't know if you could have pictured someone like Robert De Niro doing it.
Yeah.
So I think how it ended up was the best for everyone. But definitely check it out. That is going to be in line, as one of the best things on TV this year. Without a doubt.
It's just a mini series, right?
Yeah.
Six episodes?
It's eight. So I don't know how that's going to play out because I thought there was an episode cut off for Emmys next year. Obviously way too far ahead right now.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see how that plays out since it's eight. But we'll see.
Well, and it's interesting because usually HBO with their miniseries, they usually do six episodes because that's what they did with Show Me a Hero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
So we'll see. But before we get into Emmy talk, kind of a little intro, I do want to hear about Roadies because I've only seen the first episode and you are all caught up.
Yes.
Before we get all the way into it, is there a band every week? A new band? Not obviously the main Bam. I'm saying like they had the Head and the Heart's the only one I've seen. So
the backstory is there's this fictional band, and they're on a tour, and the Head and the Heart is their opener, and then the Head and the Heart quits after the first episode, or they quit in the second episode, I don't know. But so then from there, they're trying to find a new opener in every city that they go to. So yeah, in the second episode, there was a new band that came in. I didn't know them, but man, they were incredible. Kind of they show one performance that they do, and it was very Jack White, kind of Dead Weather, White Stripes esque. So it was really awesome. But then they leave after the first episode, and then they have Lindsey Buckingham come in, who was a guitarist for Fleetwood Mac. And that was in the third episode, which there's been four episodes, but the third episode has by far been my favorite.
Really? Because I saw Seppenwall went the other direction on that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. It may have been that I was hopped up on new pre-workout that I'd... Because I watched it after I got home from the gym, and I had tried some new pre-workout from my roommate, and it was having a different effect on me, so it could have been that, but I don't know, the show has its lighter moments, and then it has its deeper moments. Lindsey Buckingham did a song on there that was really cool. And then later in the episode, for this like kind of sweet moment, they played a kind of a lost cover of a Bob Dylan song by Jeff Buckley.
Nice.
And so that was really cool, because I really enjoy Jeff Buckley I enjoyed him and his music. So it was really, really cool to hear. But yeah, it's a different show. I mean, it's fun. The people in it are fun. The first episode, I wasn't a fan of some of the dialogue, some of the writing.
Yeah.
But the music's great. The music is always great in a Cameron Crowe project. But I mean, I'll keep watching it for now.
Yeah, it wasn't that I didn't like it. I just watched The Night Of and try and some other stuff. Still been watching Bosch, which isn't on our list, but highly recommend on season two.
What?
Bosch, the Amazon show by Michael Conley, about his character from the Lincoln Lawyer series. But anyhow.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But no, I do want to watch it, just haven't really had time.
I forgot, my brother has started watching... He started Stranger Things, the new Netflix.
Ooh, what's he think? I have not watched that yet.
Winona Judd?
Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder. He enjoyed it. He's liking the first few. I haven't watched it yet, obviously, because I think it just came out. But I've heard good things about it. I know The Ringer wrote an article about it the other day. So it's something to keep an eye on. Or look, I mean, you can find it. It's on Netflix. It's going to be there.
For sure. That's definitely one I was going to check out.
All right, let's do it. Let's dive in.
All right. Kind of talked about it a little bit. Emmy nominations came out.
What do you want to start with?
Last week, maybe we'll kind of just spitball going through the main categories, but is there anything big that you want to say or do before we go through the categories? Any off-the-top snubs or surprises that you're mad about? Maybe teaser do it by category, but I want to say the biggest thing that I'm upset about the Emmys.
Go ahead.
Is how the hell did Christian Slater not get nominated for supporting actor in a drama series for Mr. Robot? I understand the people who got nominated. I am just starting season two of Bloodline. I think Ben Mendelsohn is amazing. I don't know how he could be better even without seeing season two. The Christian Slater. Jonathan Banks, well deserved. I'm not going to argue that.
For anything that he does.
I'll let you talk about Game of Thrones. Okay. I haven't seen season four of House of Cards yet, but I don't know how Michael Kelly could be better than Christian Slater. And no offense to Nick, but there's no way John Voight is better than Christian Slater.
Everything that I've seen is that about John Voight and Ray Donovan is that his character is one of the best parts of the show. Obviously,
he's no Christian Slater.
Obviously, Emmy voters enjoy that show.
They do.
And they enjoy the performances. But, I mean, Peter Dinklage had a great season. He didn't have a big season as much as season five, but he still had a really good season. Kit Harington had a great season.
Yeah. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I'm probably not as mad about that one.
He had a very good season, probably the best season out of anyone on that show. So I can see why I don't watch Bloodline. I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to get around to it. I just haven't had a chance, haven't had time. But I do love Ben Mendelsohn, so I can see why he was nominated. Haven't watched season two of Better Call Saul yet.
What?
I know. It's on my DVR. I just haven't sat down and knocked it out yet. But
I don't know if we probably don't really want to go through predictions by category yet because we'll do that probably at a later date.
Yeah.
So is there any, before we get into kind of hopping around in the categories, is there anything off the top or you just want to go through the categories?
Yeah, let's go to the categories. Let's start with the series. Let's start with drama series. That's the first on my list here.
Yeah.
I
didn't know Downton Abbey was still on television.
I didn't either. I don't know why it's still on television.
Also, do people still like Homeland? Because I don't read anything good about that show.
I thought that from what I've never seen Homeland, but everything that I've read and heard about that show was that it really went downhill after, I can't even think of his name. Damian Lewis left, or was killed.
As much as I love Better Call Saul, I think it's a two-man race.
Absolutely.
Between Game of Thrones
and Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
And with the Americans as a dark horse.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Everything I've seen after these Emmys were announced, after the nominations were announced last week, was that this was the best season of The Americans. And it's been really quiet. A lot of people like it and are loud about it that I see on Twitter and I read and listen to on other podcasts. But everything that I've seen was saying that this was one of the best episodes, or one of the best seasons of television in the last decade.
Yeah.
And makes me want to start watching it.
Yeah, I tried it and kind of got bored with it, so maybe they kind of picked it up after the first season, so that's the one we should go back to. I don't know how House of Cards is still on. Eventually, I'm going to watch season four just because I have to, because I'm so...
So, is this for season four or season
three? I'm sorry, this is season three.
So, you guys... Correct. And you guys said that this was the worst season.
Yeah, it was not good. So I'm glad you corrected me on that.
Yeah, a lot of people say that it's their worst season that they've done.
This was season three, and so now I'm even more pissed off that Michael Kelly got it over Christian Slater. I'm glad you reminded me of that.
But yeah, this is absolutely between Mr. Robot and Game of Thrones, because this was Game of Thrones' best season. Yeah.
So what about staying, you want to stay in the drama, or what's your next one? You want to go best comedy?
Yeah, let's go comedy series. It's got to be Veep.
Yeah, what? I guess. I don't know. Transparent.
How the hell is damn Modern Family still getting nominated? Why?
It's just the... Why? It's got high adult range, you know? I'm just the most excited. Modern Family, I don't really know offhand. Is there any other comedies that you would put above it?
You're the Worst.
Yeah.
You're the Worst people season got, two.
Yeah.
You're the Worst season two that. Was magnificent. It was incredible. I can't stress enough how great that second season was, just because of the themes that they tackled and the storylines that they went through, and how they did it. I mean, we've talked about it before, but the whole season was kind of centered around the Gretchen character played by Aya Cash and her clinical depression.
Yeah.
And the way that they went about it, which is a serious, serious topic, but they still were able to make it funny.
Yeah.
And very funny. And you had some of their kind of tertiary characters step up and take on bigger roles and kill it. Just incredible performances. But this was Veep's best season by far. Yeah, and it's crazy because before this season, Armando Iannucci stepped away as a showrunner.
Yeah, you're telling me people were nervous about it.
Yeah. New showrunner came in. Everybody was really nervous about it. They didn't know what it was going to do. But it was their best season.
I'm happy, before I move on, I'm happy to see Master of None.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
Very cool, interesting show. We'll talk more about, obviously, Aziz later. A lot of people talk about Black-ish.
Surprised about that. I haven't watched it, but I've heard it's
great. A
lot
of people say it's one of the best shows on network, if probably not the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a comedy, but all around kind of the things they tackle.
Yeah.
Something we should probably check out.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. I kind of low-key like Anthony Anderson a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Just everything he's in, he's really funny. So I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try to find it and give it a shot.
Sounds good. Well, I think that's about it on that.
Oh, well, also, Silicon Valley.
Oh, yes.
They had such a strong season also. And we'll talk about it later, but Thomas Middleditch's performance this season was outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude... He's a bit character in every comedy movie. I mean, he's nothing, and he's an improv guy, and then he gets this show, and it's like, holy crap, where has he been this whole time?
Yeah. So I need to get caught up on that. That's one I'm behind on.
All right. The next one I have is Best Actor Drama.
Click the wrong button. Yeah, I wasn't mad or surprised really at all about these ones.
Surprised by Matthew Rhys for The Americans?
Yeah, but really think about it. Drama-wise, lead actor, what other shows do you hear about now?
Yeah, nothing.
I don't really know. I mean, Game of Thrones puts everyone in supporting.
Because, I mean, based... I don't know. Does Emmys do it by?
I think they
screen
have criteria.
Time percentage.
Yeah, I think they do have criteria. So I don't know. What else would have been on this? Super, super excited to see Rami Malek, and obviously Bob Odenkirk, our boy Coach Taylor, killing it like usual.
Yeah.
That dude is amazing in everything. As boring as House of Cards is, Kevin Spacey is amazing every time he's on screen.
Yeah. I mean, he's Kevin friggin' Spacey.
And the last two, everyone talks about Ray Donovan, like you said earlier, and The Americans. So, honestly, I should have done a little bit more research into this, but I can't think of any others offhand that should be on there. All these
True
guys...
True Detective was a dog turd this season.
All these guys are super lucky... that there's no longer Breaking Bad or Mad Men on television.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nothing to really complain about.
I have no problems here. Other than who the hell is going to win. I'm hoping for Rami, but...
It's got to be.
We'll see. Going to Best Actress in a Drama. Tatiana Maslany gets a nomination finally for Orphan Black, yeah. Which I haven't seen, but
I've seen a few episodes. She's really good.
Well, she plays like so many different characters. Yeah, right?
That's why she got nominated as Sarah, Allison, Kazmiya, Helena, Rachel.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest. That and Keri Russell, I think, are the two that everyone's probably the most happy to finally see. Robin Wright, again, the storyline is awful, but she's great as her character. And Claire Danes, like clockwork, gets nominated and will probably win somehow, like she always does.
Had to get a Shonda show in there, so we got Viola Davis and How to Get Away with Murder, which never seen it, but people seem to like it.
Yeah,
does well with that older demographic that watches network TV.
I think the biggest snub is we don't watch it, but people were super surprised last season of Good Wife. I don't know her name, but she's normally nominated.
Juliana Margulies.
Yeah, she's normally nominated. I think that was the biggest surprise out of this category. For what it's worth, just to highlight. I don't really see anything major here.
Nope. Best actor in a comedy series?
Aziz?
Yeah. It's, for me, personally, I think it's between Aziz, Thomas Middleditch, and Jeffrey Tambor. Mm-hmm. Most likely it's going to be Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Transparent, but from everything that I've heard, I mean, he's incredible in it. So, surprised with Will Forte?
Yeah, he's been nominated, though, I think, last year, too.
Yeah.
But are you still up on that?
No.
Nick is. So Nick is. It's interesting he keeps getting nominated and their viewership is so low. It's going to be interesting to see what Fox does.
For Last Man?
Yeah, because they have...
It could get canceled this summer.
Very easily, and it keeps getting nominated for things, which is just an interesting dynamic. So,
well, and I was reading an article that was talking about that. It was talking about shows that got canceled but still were getting Emmy nominations, and it's not unheard of. It happens actually quite a bit. So, I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know.
See what happens.
See what happens. Best actress in a comedy. It's Julia Louis' Race to Win, or Race to Lose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't see anyone else on here beating her.
Very cool. Ellie Kemper. Very cool. Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
I need to watch some of those old shows with kind of critical acclaim she gets for that.
Yeah.
Want to check that out, but glad those, you know, they're getting nominated. I don't know much about the other shows, to be honest.
I know zero about Grace and Frankie. I couldn't tell you.
Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish and Laurie Metcalf, who I know her as Sheldon's mom on The Big Bang Theory.
Gross.
She was also in, I believe, she was in Horace and Pete.
I think she got nominated for Horace and Pete also.
Is that a miniseries or what is
it? Yeah, it was okay, it was for a miniseries.
I'll check that out.
Best supporting actor in a drama. We already went over. Supporting actress in a drama. You got your three Game of Thrones girls, which they all had really good seasons, really strong seasons. I don't watch Unreal, and
interesting that they have a nomination.
Very loud about my distaste for The Affair.
I'm kind of surprised, and I wish maybe they're not as big a characters in the supporting that Reese Sehorn for Better Call Saul and the girls for Mr. Robot.
Yeah,
didn't get nominated. Or
that was one of the main snubs that I saw was Reese Sehorn for her role.
She is great.
From what I've heard, was that her role was really, really good this season.
And Downton Abbey's
gotta get whatever
stuff.
Supporting actor in a comedy. Surprise with Louis Anderson for Baskets.
Yeah, that's
that was the
really
only
interesting.
That was the only big nomination that that Baskets got, which I haven't finished it, but what I saw, I really liked it. It's a weird show, very strange, but Louis Anderson was great as Galifianakis' mom. Super excited about Matt Walsh getting nominated for Veep. His character is great, really funny. Ty Burrell, I couldn't care less. Andre Brower continues to be one of the stronger performances on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Happy, excited about Titus Burgess for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That character is incredible. Such a funny character. And then, obviously, Tony Hale was going to get nominated. Yep. He had a great season. And then Keegan-Michael Key for the final season of Key and Peele.
Can we talk about Sidetrack? I don't know what the movie is called, but it's written by the comedian, and it's loosely based off Saturday Night Live sketch comedy. Keegan-Michael Key is the main character. It looks amazing. You haven't seen the trailer for this?
I don't believe I have.
You, after we get done, immediately, let me pull it up because I can't think of the name right now. It is called Don't Think Twice, written by Mike Birbiglia.
Oh, yeah. He did Sleepwalk with Me.
Don't Think Twice. Your girl from Community's in it, the blonde chick, with lots of other people.
Oh, yeah. I have actually heard about this. They're an improv group, yep. And one of them gets on Saturday Night Live, and the others are not happy about it.
So, don't want to sidetrack us, but we saw Keegan-Michael Key reminded me.
Yeah.
Yeah, supporting actor or comedy, I can't really think of others that I'm super upset about.
Yeah.
You didn't get a Silicon Valley guy in there. I guess it'd be T.J. Miller, probably.
Yeah, probably T.J. Miller. I like the other two guys, Kumail Nanjiani and Martin Starr. And, I can't think of his name.
Dude from The Office?
Yeah. He was great this season. All of them were great. The whole cast was really good. But there's just so many right now,
yeah,
in comedy supporting. So supporting actress in a comedy, we've got Anna Chlumsky from Veep. She was great. Gabby Hoffman for Transparent, haven't seen it. Allison Janney for Mom, she's probably gonna get it.
Kate McKinnon
for Saturday Night Live. She continues to be the only bright spot of SNL right now.
Yep.
Judith Light from Transparent and Niecy Nash from Getting On. That was a surprise from what I've seen. I haven't seen Getting On, but I've seen one episode of it, but it's one of those kind of dark comedies, I guess. I haven't seen it, but and then the next one, Best Limited Series. You have American Crime, which I talked about earlier. I watched part of the first season and it wasn't for me, but
yeah.
Fargo, great second season. The Night Manager,
great.
Still haven't watched,
really,
but
good.
Heard good things. People vs. OJ was huge on the internet. It blew up on the internet. So, I mean, I could see that.
Yeah.
Winning. And then the remake of Roots that was done by the History Channel.
I think the biggest surprise here for people was Show Me a Hero.
Yes. Show Me a Hero didn't get nominated.
And
Oscar Isaac did not get nominated, which we talked about Show Me a Hero just briefly earlier.
Yeah.
But
That's the only thing. I mean, yeah. I didn't see much else. I'm not too unhappy.
I don't care about TV movie.
I will say I am halfway through All the Way. And it's good. It's just kind of long, so I haven't been able to finish it yet. And
so the next one I have here is Best Actor in a Limited Series or a Television Movie. You talked
big
about
surprise
All the Way.
Here.
Bryan Cranston for All the Way. The Batch for Sherlock. Idris Elba for Luther. Haven't seen Luther, but
I've seen some, so it's really good.
I heard it's really good. And I like Idris Elba a lot. I've liked him ever since he was on The Wire. Still holding out hope that he gets James Bond. It's still possible.
Him versus old Tom.
It's him versus Hiddleston, yeah. The Cubes. Cuba Gooding Jr. as
yeah, that's
the,
a big surprise.
Titular
over Patrick Wilson.
O.J. Simpson. For Fargo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't think Cuba was very good, if I'm going to be honest, in O.J. I thought the best part of O.J. was Courtney B. Vance.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Courtney B. Vance and then the...
You haven't watched O.J.?
I haven't, no.
Oh, yeah. Cuba's not very good. He kind of overdoes it.
I know that Schwimmer was talked about a lot on the internet for probably bad reasons. Just as Robert Cardat.
No,
just
he got good. He was great.
Just like the whole juice thing.
Oh, yeah.
He just constantly would say juice in the first few episodes.
Yeah, he got nominated for supporting.
Yeah.
But
what I heard about over People vs. O.J. was that it was Courtney B. Vance first, and then Travolta second, and then...
what's her name? Who's in all those?
Crap.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, as Marsha Clark. And then you got your boy Hiddleston for Night Manager, and then, as we mentioned, Courtney B. Vance. So, actress in Unlimited, Sarah Paulson, that's what her name is.
Yep.
Kirsten Dunst for Fargo.
Kind of surprised on that.
Yeah, I'm too.
Wait, I guess why doesn't she showed up on mine?
Is mine messed up?
Are you on lead or supporting?
I'm on lead.
My bad. It's great podcasting.
Oh, man, just stellar technical difficulties.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by her.
Yeah.
She wasn't really my favorite with Fargo.
The mom, did she get nominated?
For supporting.
For
yeah,
supporting? Okay.
I think it's Sarah Paulson's. She was pretty great.
Yeah,
as Marsha Clark.
Yeah. You got the two from American Crime, Felicity Huffman and Lily Taylor. Audra McDonald from Lady Day at Emerson's
Bar. I don't know what that is.
I have no idea. Kerry Washington for Confirmation. That was a HBO movie, wasn't it?
Yep.
Supporting actor, your boy, young Matt Damon.
Hey. I'm much more excited about him over Dunst. He's great. Plug, I just watched The Program. He's really good in that. I'm the most excited about Bokeem Woodbine.
That's whenever I saw the nominations last week and I got to this, I was like, yo, Bokeem.
He might win, too.
He was incredible.
He might win. Hugh Laurie was great in The Night Manager. Sterling K. Brown was also one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
I thought That's David Schwimmer, John Travolta was not good in O.J. It's just because his name is John Travolta. Still, somehow, every now and then, he gets nominated.
My favorite thing that came from that series was him in the thumbs up, and then him. In the high five.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the... I still constantly see those GIFs on Twitter, and it makes me laugh.
David Schwimmer, I think, well-deserved. Made you forget about Ross. He did very well as Robert Kardashian.
Supporting actress, limited series. Kathy Bates, American Horror Story. Obviously, American Horror Story is going to get there. Gonna get their people in it.
Sarah Paulson with the second nod.
Yeah, Sarah Paulson. Regina King for American Crime, Melissa Leo for All the Way, Olivia Colman for Night Manager.
Very good.
Yeah, from very, what I've heard, she was really good. And then there she is, Jean Smart from Fargo, who played the mother of the Klan.
I can't really think of anyone who should have gotten nominated over any of them.
There's someone I saw that they, a snub that people were talking about. I can't remember exactly who it was. Guest actor in a drama. Max von Sydow for Game of Thrones. He wasn't in it much.
Lots of House of Cards on here, which I don't
understand.
Yeah, a
lot of House of Cards. Guest actress in a drama. Allison Janney getting her second nomination.
She always gets nominated for two.
As well as Laurie Metcalf for Horace and Pete. There she is.
There it is. Man, I wish they would get that on Roku so I could watch it.
Margot Martindale for The Americans, which, from what I've heard, she was incredible on this season. So, guest actor in a comedy, my boy, Larry David, for his...
That's pretty
his
cool.
Recurring Bernie Sanders bits on SNL. Peter McNichol for Veep. He played the uncle of one of the characters, Jonah Ryan. He was hilarious. Just a vile, vulgar person, which everybody is on Veep. Tracy Morgan, good
pretty
to
cool.
see him on there. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Martin Mull for Veep. I'm trying to think. Yeah. He was really funny. He plays this, like, hotshot kind of Capitol Hill person, and turns out he's kind of got dementia, and they kind of just sweep him aside. And his scenes are really funny.
I think the biggest surprise here was everyone wanted Jason Sudeikis to be nominated for Last Man, and they wouldn't let him because he was on screen too much.
Yeah.
So they wanted him to be supporting.
Yeah. I don't have anything else here.
I think that about does it. Let's just look at one last thing real quick.
Yeah, guest actress for a comedy. You got the dynamic duo of Tina Fey and Amy Poehler being nominated together for their hosting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That was weird. With Variety Talk Series, Colbert shut out for Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yeah, that was a big surprise.
Everything else... I think this is John Oliver's
race. Dude is amazing. I do want to touch on one thing before we end up. Scroll down to Best Directing of a Drama.
And you will not find
Sam Esmail.
Yeah, he didn't direct a lot. He
directed the finale, though.
He did.
I was pretty surprised. You got the Nick nominated. Didn't get nominated for anything else other than directing.
Yeah. Mr. Robot was nominated for Best Writing for a drama series, which I agree, as well as... what episode was that? I think it was the pilot, the premiere. Veep getting two nominations for writing, and Silicon Valley getting two nominations for writing. That's as far as my list goes.
Yeah, I just want to see directing. Just put that out there. Would have thought that would have been... At least someone would have got something from Mr. Robot directing, whether it was Sam Esmail or not. Overall, I think they did a heck of a better job getting the actual good people and shows nominated than the Academy Awards did. So excited to kind of see who wins there. We'll circle back. Coming
That's always been
talk
the
more about that.
I mean, it's been especially prevalent the last 2 years with the Oscars is their oversight of a lot of nominations,
right?
And the Emmys have always been really good about it.
So very happy about that. I think I'm be really excited to watch Rami Malek win it.
Yeah, September, right?
Yep, September with Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, is the host. So
yeah, that should be good.
Think that about does it. Do you have any other shows or movies before we sign off?
Is there anything coming out this week?
Bourne's close. Maybe that's next weekend, actually. Saw The Infiltrator, Bryan Cranston, as always, really good. Go see that. Star Trek Beyond is getting 90% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Justin Lin directed it.
Boy.
Secret Life of Pets, animated movie. Really funny. Coming out this week is Star Trek and that Lights Out horror movie, which is getting really good reviews as well.
Yeah.
And then Bourne and a lot more of the stuff will start coming out in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and then in a couple weeks, Suicide Squad finally comes out.
We'll see if it can live up to the hype. Do better than Batman vs. Superman.
Hopefully. We'll see.
But I believe that about does it. We'll get back in the next week or two once Nick is back, and we can talk more about Mr. Robot and the HBO shows and probably some more movies as they start to come back out.
Yep.
But appreciate everyone listening.
Thank you.